No, I would like to explore, say, like, I'm not doing enough, you know. Thing is,
Yeah, I was contemplating on that yesterday and the day before yesterday. Is it all enough? What is here? What I have? What I do? But I also feel like I need some rest. I've been doing all my life actually things I had to do, but they didn't come out from a deeper nature. Like most of the things, my responsibilities, work, just for the income. Not like I did it with love, but still, it was not my natural energy from my inner being that came out into the world. But it was me, you know, forcing myself to do it, like every morning, waking up, going to work. And now I use every moment I can to relax, you know, because I have to let it all go.
I think there are lots of answers to relaxing, actually. And you know how much we're traumatized, so I think every minute we can spend on self-nurture and relaxing are never lost. It's exactly why you would get this programming kind of brought to the surface, saying like, there is no time to relax and you know, you're not doing anything useful, or you're not doing enough, or you know, you don't have time to relax, maybe, or to self-nurture, or all these kind of things. Yeah. It's like a protection, you know, like because then that programming gets active, and then you're gonna be, oh, okay, if you listen to that programming, you're gonna get moving and never get to the core of what really helps you. Is designed this way, I think.
Yeah, I try to be strong and keep my higher vibration, not get into that panic mode. Like the fear, I was doing a lot out of fear, and now I don't want to buy it anymore, you know? When we really see that it's not truth, then how can it have power over us? Yeah, the last full moon in Leo.
So it was like Wednesday, last Wednesday.
And of course, this full moon in Leo is about all about the power, which is a big topic, which I was going to make video about it yesterday, but then I thought I'd better relax. Get confronted also with the power of the storms that killed a lot of trees. It's really, I don't know, feels like such a loss.
Well, you know, all the trees are not spirited, so if it can
They're
help
not.
you, they feel better. You know, some of them, they are just like, maybe there is the occasional spirited tree, but you know, most of them
No.
are not
Okay,
real.
because I thought there are so many streets already without any trees, and just
It's sad for us because then you don't have the pleasure to see like this green thing, you know, and it's always nicer, of course. You know, you get used to their absence also. You don't have a lot of choice. You have to do without them, or plant a new tree, right? If you're really sad like that, then in 10 years, you know, in 2 3 years it can already grow a lot, but you know, if you've got a little greenhouse, you just water a little bit every day, and then you can have your little trees. But you know, I think it's kind of spectacular to see all these trees like falling and
You know, it's just I already cleared a lot, but it keeps coming for some reason. Yeah, like there is not never gonna be cleared completely.
they make a difference.
And today I also like threw away a lot of towels, kitchen towels, all kinds of shorts, t-shirts I don't wear anymore, like the whole big bag and another little bag. I just had this urge, I have to get rid of it now. Because I was keeping, oh, you know, those kitchen towels, they're still okay. And I also, when I walk in the street and there are no trees, I feel drained. I feel drained from only even from being in that scenery of only people made. I like when nature's intelligence is around me, you know. In my house, I have the plants. The same moral law. So if someone doesn't make you feel safe in their presence to be, to feel who you are, and you know, it doesn't matter if it's your mom or your sister or the stranger. If that person is not supporting you, then, but it's repeating pattern.
Well, it's always disappointing when you place a boundary and people don't do anything with it, you know. Either they ignore it, they give you the silent treatment, or you know, it's you only flourish when, you know, you place a boundary and you're heard and received in your boundary. That's actually strengthening your friendship, you know. And then, you know, even if sometimes maybe the boundary is too radical, if you understand that the person is dealing with extreme stress, then you understand why they need to put like a radical boundary, because that equals their level of stress. And if they don't judge you for that, you know, they understand, they make room for it, then it feels really good. And, you know, you're like, wow, it helps you also. You're like, oh, I can be heard in my boundary. That feels really nice.
Yeah, and you can feel safe that whatever you need, you can get here, you know. You need some space, you can get it. You need some attention to certain things that are important for you, you can get it. And what's the big deal, really, right?
For example, you know, with my entourage, or because I noticed that he is really not skilled with emotions, so I don't share my emotions with him anymore. I just keep the practical 3D level, you know. That's how we relate, you know. Fixing problem, you know, fixing 3D things, doing 3D things, exchanging practical news, you know, looking for solution in the 3D, all of that is you can do. So I exchange with that, but I've soon learned that, you know, anytime I was sharing anything emotional, he would be overwhelmed, and then he would want to take the emotion out of me, and for me to stop feeling this emotion too by saying, oh no, don't have this emotion, or, you know, because he, or just, you know, sometimes you know, for example, you cry and people put a hand on you, but it instantly stop your crying because they already in your space, you know. And in the intention, you know, some people can touch you sometimes, it won't have this same effect. But so I have learned to direct how I communicate with him, right? It's an aspect that I have to grieve, but at least I don't get a, you know, it doesn't upset me anymore, it doesn't cause drama anymore. So we can recalibrate, kind of disengage the emotional side when it doesn't work with some people.
Yeah, like lower the standard towards them.
Right, because you say like it's repeating, you know, when it's like a pattern repeating, then you have to, you know, you're like, okay, how I'm gonna resolve this situation? And sometimes the only way to resolve it is by changing how we interact with them and how much access we give to them. But yeah, it comes with grieving that we're never gonna get our needs fulfilled in this relationship, but we can get other needs, you know. We know what works with them and what doesn't. But the majority here of people, they are very, very limited to what they can overcome and understand. And we see a lot of people looping and looping and looping again without finding the exit door. They are very, it's a minority that really knows how to really change internally, you know. It doesn't work for me, how you react to it, you know. And so I've learned more about his limitation, and I don't take them personally. And I also have found other avenues where I can get my needs met. So you know, with every being you are in interaction, it's going to be a different relationship, and you have to choose like how much you engage, you know, and how much energetic you engage, how much emotional, how much psychic.
Yeah. And, you know, if you want them to engage more and they're not, that takes some time to let it go. Yeah. Because it accumulated the tension over the years. During the year, I was working, and when I got vacation, I went and I got even more tension and more tension, and never. Of course, I did yoga, but the ups were not my ups. It was ridiculous ups that were okay, but wasn't what I wanted. I don't need ups and I don't need downs. I just need peaceful time. Just leave me alone, because I could consider, like, for example, 3 days, no negative dramatic fight, okay, but it's not my type of rest that I need, you know. I would prefer to just have peaceful time, not rush anywhere, not have to take into account people who don't match me in my values and life views. And
I think for each of us, we have to see who are our parents, because our parents are not the same. You know, your parent can be spirited or they can be not spirited, which explains a lot in general, you know, because when they are not spirited, they are much more limiting, you know, limited in what they can overcome. It goes beyond, you know, their programming and what they are programmed for. So you can have like, then even if you get a spirited parent, it doesn't mean that they have done their shadow work, or that they are well-intentioned towards you, or, you know, you can have all different of variants there as well, or you can have also different time. You can have like a possessed parent or a hijacked parent, or, you know, so much can happen, and it might also change along the years. So.
Yeah, and sometimes you can see clearly the dark power is using them to hurt you, and they are not recognizing it and not strong enough to block it out. Then sometimes I would say something like that to one of my family members, and they get so offended at me, like no resolution at all for that situation. So I have to deal with it alone. And, you know, I'm trying to let go of the fact that because it's family members, I have to give them special place in my life, even if they behave the worst of all people who I know, with whom I deal. They treat me with the least importance, and they just assume that they have the status. That no matter what they do, it should always be all right. Well, not for me anymore. And they will notice when I really don't go to see them on my vacation, but I go somewhere else, you know? Then they will see that, okay, she chose to not see me this year. Yeah, then I guess it will arrive, the message, but for now it doesn't arrive.
Yeah, sometimes they also seed your dream with something that you're reliving also in the present, or sometimes they also sent engineer some relationship that's going to also kind of trigger old wounding that is unhealed, and then you, it kind of affects you and your clarity. I had that, you know, or kind of someone who reminds you of someone of your past, and that kind of bring that old wound back to the surface, and it's unhealed, so you kind of, it's creating a little bit of psychological torture, not a little bit. And I've been reflecting on people who have never been responding, you know, or give no answer. And usually I find that these one are not saying that it's the case for you, but a lot of these examples in my life, they are not spirited, right? That's why sometimes they didn't answer. It's just a lot of backdrops don't answer to us sometimes. And then it in itself, it's traumatizing, and it does trigger why aren't they not answering? Mm-hmm. Is it because I'm this way? And then you kind of loop yourself into all these low self-esteem things, you know, belief about yourself. And in fact, they just have not answered, right? So
now I feel like I could be doing so much, but I just need to rest.
You know, when you're relaxed, you're gonna, you know, we surprise ourselves. So I think it's, if we were aware of the amount of stress and trauma we are under, it would change the way we lead our day. And it did for me, because, you know, I worked a lot on these kinds of programming, you know, like for me, it was really hard to do self-care or take a bit of time for that. And I think I've made great progress with that. And the thing that helped me is to consider that I have a lot of trauma to work through daily, right? And to consider that I wake up traumatized. And when I did that, it really helped me to put it as a priority. Like basically all we could do along the days could be to kind of self-nurture and relax. And I'm not sure it will be even enough even then. Okay, so, but.
Yeah, I agree totally. And I like how you say it, and how you acknowledge it, that we wake up already feeling traumatized. Because I used to come to work and some colleagues would ask me, how are you? I never told them how I was truly feeling, because I knew if I would tell them I'm tired, as their answer would be, you're just starting your shift. So like, you're not allowed to be tired because you just came here. So what? I have the right to feel tired, you know, but I just stopped telling them how I feel, because it was no point. But over the years, that installs programming in your mind, you're not supposed to feel even tired because you're just starting your day. But maybe if, through the night, your consciousness was processing so many issues that you wake up. Like I had last two nights, I had some dreams, and those were kind of dreams of processing, I could feel, of the themes of the past, and I was going through them in my dream somehow, for some reason. And I felt inadequate. Like, why do I want the answer? Like, I felt inadequate that I wanted the answer, while it was totally natural, normal way to want that you get an answer. And it's not like I am somebody who is bothering someone wanting something for free. Like, if some person sends me hundreds of messages wanting me to answer very heavy life questions in astrology in his chart for free, I don't answer. Mm-hmm. Because I said, you know, why do you expect it to be for free? I don't know you. You are not offering even donation. Like I wrote it. I said, I don't need your you to have a lot of money to pay, but you cannot assume that you are entitled, you know, to this. And I will make time for you while I hardly make time for what I want to do. So it's just a few people who actually have probably as a purpose to confuse me, that I am not answering to them. That means I was also the same in the eyes of those who didn't answer to me, but I was a different person.
Yeah, but the context is different, because what you share here with that person is like a form of intrusion, when what you share as an example wasn't an intrusion. So it's not the same context. It's yes. Different. And it's the mind which gonna try to compare them, but in the frequency of what you are, you know, and how you are relating, you were relating in a genuine way.
Exactly.
Really with somebody, and this person you mentioned here isn't relating in a genuine way. They want something out of you. They're counting on your good nature to get something from you, you know, extract your codes for free, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not genuine in their communication, you know, they are manipulative. So it's not the same.
Yeah, exactly. And I love to share all the knowledge. I don't need anything for it. Just I'm happy if someone wants to listen. But those people have different signature. Yeah, that I feel this, like certain individuals, I feel like, no, I feel this resistance. I don't want to respond to them. It's like I can kind of scan appropriate reaction to everyone. To one person, I give everything and I'm happy to give. And this one, I feel, no, this one is not going to get anything. And it's maybe I tune in into some higher intelligence that tells me, because we don't know, maybe that person treated someone really bad and they don't deserve that help. So we shouldn't give it, you know? And maybe that's more appropriate that I ignore them. And it doesn't mean I deserve also to be treated the same way, ignored by someone else.
Yes, no. It's especially when it's not the same. Of course, if, you know, no, I think the program takes advantage of, you know, try to take advantage of our good nature and also.
Exactly, yeah.
We tend to interpret all the behaviors around us from this distorted mirror about ourselves, and then it can really get us loop and loop, you know, in these low frequency layers. So it's not easy to extract from all these layers of heavy self-doubt and, you know, wounding programming. It's really, really hard, and it's like,
yeah,
it can be a torture. Yeah. I noticed that, you know, anything that tries to get us into this drama state or just out of our center, there are a lot of them. They try to really to pull you out, you know, and there is a frequency to it. And you say the signature, right? So, you know, when somebody contacts you, the way they verbalize or write things, you can already pick up their intention. So maybe it's your body, your scanner, like your compass, and your body feels everything and is going to tell you the intention that are hiding. Now, sometimes some people have complex signature that are hard to read. So you have like different things piling up. So, but certainly for a lot of them, you can pick up when people are extremely narcissistic in the way they only want something out of you. They arrive there in your life to control you or to tell you how you should live your life, or that what you do is not good enough and you should do it like this, or any time of controlling behavior, the more aggressive one they're going to reveal in the first messages you have with them. So sometimes they also disguise it by love bombing you and by complimenting you, and then you're confused because they're sending you like mixed signals. But I think a lot we can pick up at the early beginning and just believe in that, you know, like believe in that reading of the signature and say, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is a warmth to when there is like realness and spirit to spirit, there is a warm, if it's benevolent, there is a warm around it that you cannot really find in every places. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
because I've been in touch with some very, very convincing models that were not spirited, and I've learned, you know, and maybe at the beginning I thought there was a spirit there, and then later I realized that either the spirit had gone, maybe he met, you know, or like it's a container that is used already for different many lifetime, but it feel or sometimes you have like a container and then it's inhabited by a being sometimes, or so it's not always easy to know who you're dealing with in this reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel the quality of your experience and the moment you can create together is going to tell you a little bit more about it, you know.
That's true. Yeah, because sometimes some being would react with a smile and say thank you and have a kind smile. But indeed, in the experience in this moment and field with them, there is no true experience of yourself, because they kind of don't give you space to be. That's what I experience sometimes, like, yeah, there was very friendly reaction to a compliment, or not even compliment, gratitude, anything positive you express to people, but then they would accept it, but yeah, it wouldn't feel good in their presence. It wouldn't feel real, true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. It just feels like something is missing, right? It's a little bit cold in the signature and blank,
mm-hmm.
and empty from spirit, right? But where there is not spirit, there is not spirit also. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I find it very, you know, my quest is kind of to make more room in my life for spirit to spirit interaction, right? And there was a time in my life where there was very, very few spirited beings around me, you know, very, very, very few. I think about school, you know, and for a long time I only had my mother, which was already, you know, a great gift, you know, to have her. And then the last year, there is more spirit coming into my life. And I think it comes with, you know, once you also start to recognize it and engage more, you know, say no to also some kind of interaction so you can have more room for that and be more available also. And I find it really helps to shift reality, and that's something really meaningful in our realities. Just mm-hmm. this sharing the universe inside, right? The microverse.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I also try to practice that. Just say no to something which I see is not what I want. Mm. Like, look in the truth in the eye from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because we were taught, like in spiritual circles, if you have an issue with someone, that's your problem, then it's like if you, they would say, if you don't have spirit in your life, that's because you don't have spirit in you. But I came to understand it's just because you didn't say no to enough people who don't have it. Because if I have spirit, but I say yes to people who don't have it, I end up in deception. And now I say no to people more, much more, and much less regrets, much less doubts about it. And that leads me to really much more wholeness and spirit connection, heart connection, soul. Yeah, it's all the same almost. It's about indeed setting boundaries much more than taking responsibility for something that's not yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many confusing, twisted teachings that I need to really purify my head from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately here, it's a realm where you have to put a lot of boundaries. If not, you're never gonna, you know, we have to protect the energy. That's how you actually don't get as corded and drained and depleted. It's by saying yes to things that are not replenishing or nourishing. Or
mm-hmm.
if you're constantly the generator, then you cannot really recharge, and you're generating the whole energy for the room, and that's why sometimes you come back to your home and you need like 2 hours to replenish. Well, that's an indicator that it was draining environment and probably draining people, and some of them are not like it's just the nature of who they are, which make that they don't generate their own energy, which make that they are programmed to kind of plug to yours. So it's about, you know, limiting how much time you want to spend with them, and how much it's balanced for you to give. And then also look at this, if there is guilt, you know, if you give because you don't want to feel guilty, and because the guilt can lead us to give more than what we really would like to give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to looking for other work. I try to say no to things that really don't,
mm-hmm.
don't feel like it's my thing to do. And it goes with a bit of fear. Well, if I keep going like this, I will never find anything. You know, I'll keep saying no, I may get myself in trouble. But I also, if I really know I cannot say no to this, I have to trust that I can just be true to myself. Yeah.
That's like the pressure from the program telling you that, yeah. Oh, all the backdrop don't resonate with your work, or but first, like most of the backdrop, they don't even see what we are sharing or posting. It's just they might see it, but it's like it's just not made for them. So our job is to find the other spirited beings, and even then not everyone is friendly. So it's only a small portion of them, since it's like the rare gems that we have to find. Mm-hmm. And usually along the way, you know, that's how we met. Like you have like sometimes one of these encounter, and then time will reveal, you know, the quality and the depth of that. It's a matter of visibility, and so many beings have no idea we exist, you know, and us, them. So, but then you meet someone and it's like two multiverse who kind of like discuss suddenly. It's just hard to get visibility with all these algorithms that don't work in your favor and, you know, not being promoted because you don't trigger people's dopamine system. And then they just get so activated to share everything that's plugging into their dopamine, like these operation that generate false hope or all of that, you know, then they feel like they have to share it, or these handlers, you know, controllers, where you have like this adoration for these figures and or these gurus, right? And then you share their work, then you see these posts going viral. And if you do a more steady work, you're not going to generate this kind of reaction. You're not casting spell into the air, trying to influence people free will, right? So, And then we have to work in on our frequency, because then the wounding of non-recognition brings more of that in our reality, more of non-recognition, more invisibility. And it's a low frequency, but it's stuck in the field. So we kind of generate from there, and that's a painful place to generate. Then we create this reality where it's empty. And so, but less and less, right? It's like, but it's like a long-term work, because it just takes hard work to keep on finding that one new being who can kind of meet us in what we do and who have like a percentage to share with us.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you know, I hope I can find some work with a person who is in charge of that, who has a spirit. Because it feels like madness to me to have a boss or manager who is like power-wise, true power-wise, much below you, but he behaves like he has, his power is above you, you know? I just feel it's like some madness what I had in my job. And now there's a Leo theme, that's why I talk about power, like you have true power and you feel like you're above them in your realizations about everything, but they have no idea and they behave like they think they are above you, and you have to do what they say and play according to their rules just because you have to survive. And because you have to make some little money, run deficiency as a job with your energy and compensation. And I
just... You just described the slave system perfectly.
Yes,
right. It's from a positive manifestation and creation and not listening and not fear-based decision. And I know where fear-based decision can lead you, you know, then... They lead you to the next trap where your energy is harvested even more. And I see everyone is struggling with some layers of that survival programming, or almost everyone, right? And then it takes different form. It transform like can get less active, you know, already now, because you know we already know how to identify it, that it's fear-based, that it's designed this way, that it's not the truth, only becomes the truth if you listen to it and think it's the truth, right?
It really helps,
right? It's like percentage to deactivate and to deactivate, and you know, it's like when you receive that like that police bill, and it's like every time, like it's like an infraction, like how much you have to pay. And usually it doesn't produce any type of trigger in my body. But if it's like a 200 euro one, like that, then like, I'm like, oh yeah, that doesn't feel so nice. I don't like to give that money to the police, of course. But then I'm like, oh, well, better I pay it fast and put the paper in the bin and forget about it, and then it doesn't affect my, it already affected my reality much longer than I wanted by this, like, you know, that, like, that money thing has really like a specific trigger in your body that it come in your plexus and kind of tear your stomach like in two, right? It's like that very specific feeling. Mm-hmm. Disagreeable. Well, the easiest is to pay the bill and forget about it quicker and think about how you're gonna create more money, because if you deal with this system, anytime you call these call centers, you get all these non-spirited beings and it's a labyrinth and you feel like, but even there you can kind of create in the frequency that you're gonna have like a helpful backdrop or whatever, you know, or someone with empathy, you know, because mm-hmm. you can have like worse people on the line where they are really cold and robotic, right? And you have like more agreeable version. So it's always like it always depends. Sometimes you can, you know, you can hang up and then try again the same number and hope you get someone different.
Good idea, because sometimes I do get people who are understanding, compassionate, very rarely, but indeed a good idea to not keep conversation going when it's one stubborn asshole there who is just being used by some dark entity to just eat your energy.
Yeah, or then they abuse the power that they think they have, but if you actually stop engaging with them and give you your energy, they have no power, and as soon as they just disappear and vanish from your reality, you know. So because it really depends who is selecting as well, you know, and if you can put your, you know, if you know you're going to be good at a job, you know, because you're skilled or because it's a communication job, for example, or you need human skills or empathy or things like that. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I place the intention, right? You know, mm-hmm. I would like for it to appear in my reality, right? Or to get inspired. You know, to widen our horizons, right? Because usually we think, I know, like there are doors that we don't really have access to. So,
but I think when the programming keeps active, certain opportunities never show up, right?
Right.
And I noticed when programming gets deactivated, when it's like the last piece of it already left, so almost gone from your consciousness, suddenly a opportunity appears into your reality mm-hmm. that actually was there all the time, but somehow you didn't see it.
Yeah, I know, it's fascinating. I mean, it's all there in this reality, even in this very, very programmed reality. It's really a matter of tuning to. And of course, sometimes, you know, there is still some heaviness to it, but it's mostly friendly. Mm-hmm. There will always be complex aspect because you deal a lot with the backdrop. So the backdrop will never be as perfect as we can imagine it, but there are lots of friendly options, or friendlier, you know, friendlier and friendlier, kind of an upgrade. And I feel they appear also when you're very sure that you're never gonna relapse into that torture that you were submitting yourself to, right?
That's hard to deactivate and trust that you can have something better. Mm-hmm. My parents, they had a business, but then they got divorced and business went bankrupt almost at the same time. Mm-hmm. And trauma got reinforced that now we don't have anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't have my parents together. So all those fears have to go now. Need to practice yoga nidra a few times a day if I want to succeed in anything.
Right, more yoga nidra.
Yeah. And also awareness that we bring through our conversations. Yoga Nidra is one of the greatest ways I have discovered up till now to neutralize the conditioning, the programming, to if we like, even erase it or eliminate it from our unconscious mind. And those are the colorings that we get into our unconscious mind, perhaps even from past lives, but also from this life. All the unconscious impressions get stored and they rule our life on unconscious level by the way how we react with choices and decisions we make, out of which motivations that are hidden from us, driven, the driving forces we are not aware of. So Yoga Nidra is a great way to purify your mind so you can have clear consciousness, have no underwater stones that are determining your direction when you're not even aware why you went into that direction in your life, why you made the choice. So I see that something that saves me, gives me more freedom. I go to Yoga Nidra like some salvation when I need clarity, or when I feel situation is not being clear to me, I don't know what to do about it. I do Yoga Nidra, and often during the Yoga Nidra, I may get a vision. It may be a half a second, but it gives clarity about the phenomena or situation. And also I'm able to go deeper into even experiencing the body, navigating through inner body with my eye, you know, inner eye or third eye. It helps to also activate your vision center here, sacred vision. Definitely. It's like if you want to develop your psychic skills, Yoga Nidra would be what I would use all the time, which I try to do now.
Yes, and I noticed that I could do things in different order. I'm sure it has to do with some of the Yoga Nidra. Just not having to do A, B, C, D before doing E, right? I can do, go directly to D or E and, you know, just not go through all the wires and cable in your own mind and, oh, I have to do this before I need to do this. And then sometimes you're like, well, but do I? Sometimes you do need to do it in that order, but sometimes it's just because of programming that you kind of self-impose this order, which in the past would lead me in the evening. I could only take a bath at 10 p.m. because I had to do all these kind of things before I could allow myself to do the bath or be productive enough before I take the bath, maybe. But it's all based on programming. So now it's not happening anymore. So I feel it's surprising because you kind of navigate your reality in a new, different way. Right, it's just transformed. So what can erupt, you know?
Mm-hmm. You see it very clearly. That's exactly the effect, that suddenly you would do things differently. And I had this moment this week when I did something totally differently than I would normally approach it. And why didn't I do it like that ever before? And it seemed like it made total sense to do it this new way, but I just didn't see this way ever before. And it keeps me motivated to practice it more and more, to open our mind to new possibilities.
That's exactly that we want. creating new realities and more of our realities and less of the proposition from the program. Boundaries are fluid, right? And what you need one day, you know, one day maybe you feel the need where you need to express a boundary because you're overwhelmed. Usually it comes from being overwhelmed, but then once you're not overwhelmed, you don't need that same boundaries. And that's why it's really nice to have people who understand and want the good for us, because then they're like, oh, you just overwhelm and you need a bit of space, and that's fine, you know. And then, you know, they're happy to see you back later when you come back and you're not overwhelmed anymore. So this is really real friendship, and it's very nice. Then you kind of get used to new variants and new variables, and it just shows you also what's possible, you know, in relationships. And with Yoga Nidra, you know, every class is different. Right now I've been following a few different classes, and the last one that we had, you had chosen the date. Sometimes you look at the energy, and then with your psychic gift you look like, is it going to be favorable? Is it going to support, or is it not so supportive, right? So you had chosen like a day which was supporting clarity, right? And we both remained really conscious, but we kind of got into deeper state, but it was different from other time where you really get into that more hypnotic state, awake state.
Mm-hmm. You see, that time when it didn't work for us as an energy, it was the moon was in Scorpio, debilitated moon. But the moon in Leo had a lot of clear energy, with Jupiter delighting the sun looking at the moon. And it also didn't work the same way. So I wondered if I should interfere too much with it, or just plan it without trying to manage too much and control, just making sure it's not the worst position of the planet, the moon, but maybe try different variations. Because if I only want auspicious energy, like the most auspicious in the whole month, which we had, you know, yeah, I can say I had a lot of clarity after I practiced it myself after our class. But there are different effects on consciousness.
Yeah, of course, it's very nice when you get into this deep state when you're in the class with you, because I wouldn't want to get in these states when I'm with someone that doesn't feel safe, right? But it's really nice because it gives you that kind of rest, or it's just different from sleep. And, you know, it's just kind of refresh you in some ways. It's just a nice state to explore, kind of go a little bit backwards, right? Or like this, and just feels really nice and comfy.
Yeah, and you see, yesterday I did a little part of Yoga Nidra on my own, and I could reach that deep state within 15 minutes. I was calm, like, and I was conscious, but I was somewhere deep. And we didn't plan Yoga Nidra for yesterday. And I wouldn't plan it for yesterday if I would choose. So of course, we get influenced by the states of every participant, and we don't even know what influences us.
It's always intense.
But maybe we can intuitively choose the date.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I intuitively choose date, and then you tell me, oh, it's the perfect date for that, or yeah, now it's the perfect time. So I feel like if you really, the more you kind of choose from your spirit and less from reaction, right? when you have energy available and, you know, when you decide and you're clear at the moment where you decide, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very different, be clear at the moment where you decide from being reactive, you know. When you're reactive, it's a different mind pattern. So,
mm-hmm. And your decision doesn't come out nicely. Because then you end up having an experience that didn't really work for you if you react, plan it out a reaction. Not even yoga nidra, but anything. I know those moments when I feel pulled towards a certain date and I didn't know what planets alignment would be there. But I feel it has to be that date, and then I check, oh yeah, it's a good day. Then I think it works better than when you try to
mm-hmm.
override some higher intelligence, and instead of connecting to it, you as a human try to make your own management.
I realized that now I make much better choices intuitively, you know, like and sometimes during the day, you know, I get into this flow mode, like it's a flow, like it's a dance, mm-hmm. and
mm-hmm.
I know things just before they happen, right? Like last time, like I thought, oh, this person is gonna arrive a little bit before time, and just 5 seconds later she was knocking on the door. Or like just like things just before, you know, like just in tune, but before, and mm-hmm. like you have like a few steps, you're like walking a little bit, a few steps further, and it's very nice flow to be in within your days. I like that.
I know what you mean. It's like you kind of have the time that is not going linear. Yeah.
Yes, and you're not like overwhelmed, you're not behind time. Yeah, you know, you're like dancing with like linear time and making it more multidimensional. So it's like, yeah, it's like its own universe, and it feels like your day has been like such a journey too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also when you're not rushed, so you can be in your own flow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I notice such moments I have, not often. Not as often as I wish I had, but when I kind of get the answer before I have the question, it's, you know, what I learned about Rahu, which is in certain house, in certain sign in our chart, and going there always feels scary. And it's the area of life where we need to go. But because it's a new territory for our soul to explore, we don't want to go into unknown. Of course, we resist it. And often it is very scary to go there, but it's not difficult. And people confuse it and they think it's so difficult, but it's just scary. And indeed, it's not the same thing. Yeah, because when something is really difficult, like work-wise, you need to do really difficult work and overcome obstacles. And you have real obstacles, then you can say it's going to be difficult. I see, you know, many rocks on my way. I need to remove the rocks. So you can say it's going to be difficult. But if you need to go somewhere and you have imaginary obstacles that are not there, then it's just scary. Yeah. Or imaginary dangers or imaginary fears. So that's what I meant by that. It can be super easy to do, but just taking that step,
mm-hmm.
overcoming the fear. I have it a bit with traveling, that I went to Greece on my own last 2 years. The flight would arrive at 8 in the evening, and it's a bit dangerous. What if you don't find place to stay at night, you don't find your guide? So I had all kinds of fears, It went super smooth. It was no difficulty at all in reality. But in my head, before I did it, it was super difficult. I think I had to go through psychology coaching to just, you know, travel. Now, with Rahu in Taurus, which I have, it's very hard to believe in your resourcefulness because Taurus is resources and Rahu is a new territory.
Yeah, it's I noticed that it's really depend on our own programming. I know some, I knew others who had that really fear of being homeless, right? Really, really present, right? So it's like something that comes and haunts you and it's really triggering, like super survival, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In my head, with meditation, I did it myself. My own meditation, next day I turn on meditation and it's exactly about the same theme randomly that I was tuning in the day before. It's like my questions get answered. So this like it's kind of weird dimension because time is not going linear.
It doesn't, but it's a good thing to pay attention because, you know, when time's slipping away and then you feel your days are short, then you have something to kind of recalibrate in your reality because it's like, generally days feel kind of long, like an eternity, like, and you know, you get engaged in one thing and then another thing. And then when you think about the morning, it feels like so long ago, but it is, or the day, you know. When you wake up, you're like, yesterday already feels so far away, but it's because it is, right? It's because it is so far away and your consciousness been through some stuff also, so.
Yeah, and I can perceive it more and more, how every moment is like totally different. Sometimes when I think about yesterday, it's like really, wow, something else. It's like many hours ago, not just 24. Like I'm fascinated when my consciousness is aware of certain unusual phenomena. I sometimes forget to be careful. I go towards it like, what is this? I want to know more. I want to see deeper into this. I want to explore this. And sometimes it can be just used because it's my fascination. It's being used to pull me into some wrong direction sometimes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keep reminding myself that. But I think that many people use Vedic astrology who know it to control, totally take it into their hands to control the reality and planning and management of their life. And I don't want to be that way. I am not going to do it. And I think astrology needs to confirm us when we are already connected to the spirit and we're in this flow, we can just check and get a confirmation. Oh yeah, that's right. That's why. And not only focus on Vedic astrology and use it as a tool to totally control my life.
I find it's much easier taking it moment by moment, and it's like even the worst situation, you just take it moment by moment, leading you to the next moment, and then finally, you know, it kind of it's less scary.
Yeah, and it helps if you have resources, like you have mobile internet connection, you can look for other options, you know. I even didn't know how to connect to internet, and I didn't know I could use internet in Greece just without any problem. But I also have not much experience of traveling on my own. And that's what I mean, I have like Saturn's a nice house of traveling. Saturn is this he blocks certain things till the age of at least 36, 32, 36. And yeah, I didn't travel so much and it was super scary for me. But you see, because I was scared of it, I traveled to the wrong places that I thought were easier, but created a lot of disturbance for me. And when I overcame that fear, I had really nice experience by myself without any interference. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be difficult, but it was super easy. But well, I still have a lot of fears of mostly survival when it comes to traveling. Like, how do you find your location if you arrive in an unknown place? And you need to get to your hotel. What if you come, you book the hotel, and that hotel doesn't exist? Like, what do you do? You know?
Yeah. There are different ways, right? If you give yourself time, right? It depends what time your flight arrive or things like that. But then it's like, but you know, you have to believe in your own resourcefulness, right? Way to find a way to take care of yourself in any situation, you know. I feel I've been rereading my diaries, and I realized that when I was a teenager, I was full of these, like, living in the next moment, right? Like you know, I was also dealing with a lot of embarrassment, for example, you know, and I was really scared of the embarrassment but I've kind of trained my mind to take it moment by moment, right? And I stay connected to the present, and right now everything's okay, and I will see when problem erupts, right? Because problem erupting are not the one that we kind of sometimes fear. There are different kind of problems. It's really hard to predict what kind of problem is really gonna happen and which angle is gonna take you by. So
going for the first time on my own, I cannot even believe how scared I was, but I cannot believe how easy it went. So it tells us a lot about
it kind of reminds me when I left for, like, traveling alone, and I think I had these maybe moments where I was maybe doubting myself, and then I learned and then after that I learned, I knew I had this resource in me, so it's not something that I'm gonna worry anymore, right? It's funny, how the mind works. And
also, like, I think relying on my own resources, it's super difficult. Yeah, that's what my mind says, because I have Rahu in Taurus. Like, I have to rely only on my own resources. No, it my mind says it's impossibly difficult. While in fact, it's just scary, because maybe when I actually do it and I persist in the same path which I'm doing now, and I actually do it, it's going to be super easy most of the times. That's how it works with Rahu. You know, you see, if you go that direction which you think it's going to be super difficult, turns out to be super easy. And it was just scary because it's unknown territory for your soul. It's like jumping into unknown, and you don't know where, like, you're jumping down, you don't know where you're gonna land. Feeling, or you walk through the door, you don't know what you're gonna find there. No clue, you know, that's how it feels, super scary. But you can also look at it, or train yourself to look with curiosity. Like, I'm so curious, let me see how would it work out for me if I rely only on my own resources, you know, without depending on other higher authorities?
Mm-hmm. Plus, a lot of what we manifest in our reality is our own resources, but we just don't put two and two together that we are the one manifesting it from our own resource, right? And then they are manifested in our reality. But a lot of time, you know, like if you go to the gas station and then, you know, like a helpful trucker helps you out, and it was easy, you know, and they know, because they know the technical stuff that you have like no idea about, right? And they are helpful. Well, that's usually our mind states that are kind of creating it from the hologram for everything to kind of fit into place and be there to be helpful. It's that is happening when we don't generate from our fears. It's when we generate from our resourcefulness, right? Then when we generate from our fear, we get all kind of obstacles and unfriendly people and yeah, it's just the nature of how it works here.
I had such moment this week that I needed something and it appeared, and I'm like, oh no, how cool, I needed it and here it is. And then like my higher self said, you know, you got it because it's your resource, kind of said realization. It's your own resource. You made it happen. But it's a rare moment. Most of the time, I have this fear. If I need something, I cannot find it. I cannot get it. My needs cannot be fulfilled. It's actually the fear I have because of I have Rahu in the fourth house, which is the house of the moon and fourth house. Cancer. Mm-hmm. And Rahu creates irrational fear about needs not getting fulfilled, and very rare moments come now, much more than before, that I see, okay, I need it and here it is, like magic, like, and I realize, oh, I am this magic being who can do it, but I still don't know how to do it because it happens so randomly.
Right. You know, like, you know, we talk about the meditation, like the relaxation, and that like neither you or me are going to be these beings where we don't want to do anything. We always going to want to be engaged with the society and others. So it's not in our nature to kind of drop maybe all responsibilities. So it's a nice distinction to make. I think a lot can erupt from relaxation, because it's like everything encourages us to be in these stressful states, in a stressed, overstressed body. And so it's even like an adventure, you know, like what will come up from these states that are so unknown territory for us.
Mm-hmm. We can be curious with positive curiosity, like a child, yeah, instead of fearful and like an old man who had only bad experiences.
Right. So it's like for the job thing, like I think it also it works best when we are in a positive state of creation to kind of work with that. You know, when you're really high frequency, then you're gonna tune to different options than when you're in fear states and you're like, oh, it's complicated and all of that. So sometimes the right moment also can make a lot of difference, right? Or that's the thing. Sometimes we're, you know, when it's empty, you are like it can be creating anxiety because you don't know when it's gonna be there, if it's gonna be there at all. Or But then every day you also see that new, you know, you can create new possibilities, you can manifest new things, you can, from an idea, you get a new side road where, you know, you're just opening up like a whole new, you know, wave of possibilities. So it's like the bluff. You have to become better at it's not even bluff, but you have to value your skills, knowing they count just as much as a diploma. There is like these overpowering things with the diploma and all these qualifications. But when, you know, when I was looking at job offer, I was like kind of read between the line, and I was like, oh yeah, I could fit this profile. You know, if I could see myself doing that, I was like, yeah, I'm missing, maybe I'm not, but I would still like send, you know, and better send and see, you know, let them choose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it depends who is selecting. Of course, if you're gonna have like the code profiles, and but you never know if you get like a more type, like empath type of recruiter. And for example, if I was a recruiter, I would look a lot at the picture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my main first, let's look at the picture of this person before anything else. It's already gonna tell you so much. So yeah, that's already, you know, what's the first impression you get out of that person. And and then many times we also write the letters that we think they would like to read. But what happens if we write the letters that we really want to write? And then what kind of frequency does that bring into our field? And
oh, wow, I have to tell you a story. I had this meeting with an expert online who said, who helps me to orientate myself a bit more in other jobs. And I wrote a letter that I thought was myself. She criticized every sentence, like, you don't say that. You don't say that. You have to say your sentences are too long or too deep or deep meaning. Everything was rejected. And she said, you have 2 weeks to rewrite this letter and send it to me again. I'm like, I actually gonna write her other letters that I don't feel like I can be myself in my letter. So how am I ever gonna find jobs that suits me if I cannot be myself?
Well, you have to find a way to kind of go around that. And I know it's not yet there in your reality, but it can appear from one second to the next.
But unbelievable how I wrote a letter.
Yeah, because then it feels like that's exactly what you need to do, is to write the letter as you want it, because you have got so much repression in order not to do it. And it feels so good to do things that we feel good with.
Wow. And now
when you feel good, then you manifest better things than when you feel crap.
She actually wanted me to write a letter in a way that would get me the same frequency job as I already had, where I couldn't be myself. I wrote a letter of high frequency. She totally rejected it, like, this is cannot be the letter you send. Every sentence got criticized really harshly. And I fell down for a couple of days, no confidence that I can ever find a good job, because
it's gonna trigger that fear. And of course it's just all but they only get the power that we give them credit for, right? And when we realize how insignificant these beings are, and what they are saying is just running a program to have a specific effect on our mind and consciousness and lower our frequency, then it just kind of abolish, like, you know, when you have these people who are really bad at feedbacking and who just like interrupt everything you do, you know. I had people rewriting all my articles, like, then the frequency of my work is not there anymore, and they don't let me do what I'm good at, because I'm encoding things, and I'm sure you did in your work as well. And then they really change all the architecture of these codes, and it's like, usually it's also lower in frequency and less sentient, because I do put a lot of sentient coding into the writing, but some people are really plucked to ruin the work, to interrupt what you do, to not work in collaboration, and to send you like indirect feedback, because in general they are so controlling and not able to be in collaboration themselves, or they are ruled by heavy programming. Usually they have like also narcissistic parts. But I find it very not nice to work with these people, and actually I have stopped. You know, that was like a big red flag. I was like, well, you know, 6 months I spent to really spend time with some beings and understand what their work was about and put it into sentence, you know, and put it into words, because themselves, they were so blurry in their signature, and that's that much time that I needed to spend with them to understand what their work was about. So finally other people could also, and not have like this blurry signature. And it's so sad, because sometimes they're not really able to see the beauty of that, and that actually is a very clear message. And probably, now that I think about it, it's also probably some alters of personality that are triggered into sabotage, like, oh, this message is way too clear, people gonna know what my work is about, and I cannot let this happen, so I'm gonna sabotage and rewrite it, rewrite the whole coding. That's probably also what happened. So it's very complex what happens with people sometimes, right? Especially when it's not helpful for us, we can kind of dismiss it from our reality, say, no, not helpful feedback, thanks. Or mean feedback, you can maybe take the bits that are true, but dismiss like the person giving you that mean feedback. And sometimes it does work, you know, it just create that self-doubt. So we have to be better at spotting self-doubt and realizing we're kind of being brought back into that loop again and again, and retrace the trigger. Like we know how to retrace the trigger. Where does it start? Where did it start? Where does that doubt, self-doubt come from? Oh, this engineering, right? Little remark can go a long way.
Make it stronger, that voice, that this is who I am, this is who I want to be. The letter was written the way I wanted it to be, so I don't need to react to the feedback too much.
Right.
As long as you know this is your frequency, this is who you are, you are looking for the things that are right for you.
You're gonna teach 4 modules of Yoga Nidra during the course Back to Basics. So it's 2 opportunities in March and April to really dive deeper, and it goes well with the course. You know, it really allow that space where we can relax and observe better the patterns, and at the same time reflecting on content and reading energy signature better in this life, like these signatures that we come in contact with. And I feel it helps a lot when we know better, you know, when we trust more our inner guidance or discernment, because the signature always gonna tell us what's behind.
It's like my strong supportive extra stream that I cannot miss. I see now it holds me on higher frequency, that helps me to stay on a level, you know.
I know,
and I'm looking forward to also give the sessions of Yoga Nidra, of course, and give back my support in such a way.
Yes, and these modules are in addition also to your public group, where for the moment you have 1 Yoga Nidra a month. So that's also, you know, a place where we can find you. And I'm always looking for yoga nidra. They all have been very different, you know. Yeah, it's really gonna be a discovery at each moment. So it's nice to stay present and be guided by your voice. You know, you have like a very good voice, and you also keep a very strong space with your mind, right? So that's a very nice space where we can kind of be held and explore other things. So I'm also looking forward to it. Our last adventure was really like a journey. You know, we had 50 days last year, and we ended up different than when we start. Anyway, it always happened. We always end up different, but it was like the extra cherry.
yeah, beautiful space. And yeah. I could feel a lot of magic energy here. Mm-hmm. Hidden magic, but not hidden from me. Just it's working underneath. Mm-hmm.